You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. People texting me while we're here. Oh, maybe, yeah, okay. Parsis texted me. Yeah, he's been texting me all morning, it's great. Yeah, maybe. Just answer your question, Parsis, maybe. I'll text you back later. None of your business, we're having a private conversation up here. It's me and Parsis. Yeah. Sandra's like, what is he saying? I was like, well, we're talking. We're having a man moment right here. I want to welcome our online family. We love you guys. Katie, you're always faithful. I did a pretty quick trip to Taiwan and Hong Kong. They're coming up on Lunar New Year, so I did 2.5 days of a conference in Taiwan and then flew. Was it 2.5 days? Maybe 3.5 days. I don't remember. Whatever. We'll just say I did 3 days in Taiwan, 3 days in Hong Kong, and met with a lot of people and dealt with some issues with some leaders out there and as well. And, you know, all kinds of really fun things. And, there's a lot of things that I won't say on the microphone, but it was really good. And God is on the move. And it's fun to see because it's not, you know, sometimes you see what God is doing in a region, you see what God is doing in America, and we sort of compartmentalize it. But when you start to go to different regions, different nations, and you realize that there actually is an army rising up. That's the reality, guys, is there is an army rising up that God is actually touching and he's breathing upon the young generation. And I'm not saying that in hope. I'm saying that this is actually what's happening in a way that maybe we haven't seen possibly even since the early 70s. And as the older generation or as leaders, we need to be prepared to receive and to raise babies. Not everybody will do that because when the babies come in the house, sometimes adults don't want babies. And so they cut bait and they're like, I'm out of here. You know, I don't like what I see happening here. I don't like the way that you communicate. I don't like this because you got to communicate differently when you're raising up a new generation. And so, you know, we try to, you know, communicate, you know, give y'all, you know, some of the meaty morsels as well. But, you know, we've also got to do some other things to make sure that we're all growing together. And the reality is, man, there is so much more available than what we are walking in. Literally, I was having a conversation with the Lord. I was telling the Lord what to do. You know, we do that sometimes as kids. You ever do that? You know, tell your mom what to do. And I was like, send your fire. And the Lord said, my fire is here. You've got to step into it. You guys keep asking for something that I've already done, and it's all around the world, and the ones that will actually step into it are the ones that will receive. So, you know, some of us, well, anyway, let's read the word. We'll talk about it. I have a lot here, but I feel like this may be like a 3 or 4 week deal. I'm just going to do a little bit at a time. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. I know I say that every week, but this is like top 100. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. See, it always starts with seeing. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Now, there's a few scriptures that I want to highlight out of this chapter, and you know we'll see how far we go. Maybe we'll get through the whole thing. I don't know, but uh, Oftentimes, the Lord will give us a promise, whether it's through a prophetic word or, you know, he'll speak to our heart or, you know, hopefully we're reading and we're understanding the word and we understand, you know, his precious promises that are there for us. And then sometimes the Lord will give us a dream as to what we're going to do in life. And so many times over my walk in the last 20 to 30 years, I have seen people that have received a promise from God and they've held it out there, and then they in the name of waiting on the Lord, they're just waiting for God to bring it to pass. And it's what I call Z revelation. You know, maybe someday I'll write a book. I don't know. Everywhere I go, people are like, there's books in you. And I'm like, I don't want to write a book. You know, I'm too ADD. You've got all these chapters, and you got to make it all make sense together, and maybe a comic book. I don't know, except I can't draw. So, but anyway. A lot of times when we get Z revelation, we just sit there and we're waiting for Z to come. But the reality is the only way that you can get to Z is if you do your ABCs. The Lord is always, whenever he speaks to us, he wants us to co-labor with him to bring about his precious promises. You know, I've heard in multiple people over the years, God told me he's going to give me $1 million house. And then they stay and they live in squalor waiting for their ship to come in instead of co-laboring with God, gaining financial wisdom as to how do we get from point A to point C to point G to point Z. We have to stage our way in our walk. You know, God told Israel, I've given you the land, but you have to then go possess it. They didn't just walk in and own the land. They had to take steps and co-labor with God to take possession of that which was on the table for them. Behold, I put before you blessing and curse, life and good. He's got a table before you. You get to choose every day what fruit you're going to eat. And the reality is, you know, you're not fooling anybody when you walk in or you're going about your daily life. It is evident what fruit we decide to eat from. Same with me. And so God's word is the structure through which promises are fulfilled. He is given us the prescription. He has given us the steps to take to co-labor with him. And there is no possessing of a promise without being rightly positioned. I'll be careful how I say that because, you know, sometimes we think possession and we automatically think demonic, you know. But there is no possession without right positioning. Alignment is important. There is no excellence without faithful execution of his word. That's what this verse is talking about, or these verses are talking about. Wisdom and understanding will be the fruit on display if you stay faithful to his word and to his voice. There are so many if-then statements. I'm not a programmer. When I was little, you know, I'm aging myself, but my dad built a computer. This is like, I'm talking about like in the early 80s. And we had, you know, in their bedroom, they had a TV, but it was a 13-inch black and white TV, and that became the computer monitor. And literally, when you flicked that thing on, the lights in the house would go dim. It was like Frankenstein. And all you could do on it was program BASIC. But it required so much power in the house to, like, fire this thing up. And so I learned to program BASIC programming when I was little. You know, my brother wrote a whole game, you know, and I would play the game. But it was all just, there was no graphics, guys. It was just, you know, the best thing out there at that time was Pong. You know, boop, boop, boop. I mean, that was it. Like, that was the video. Oh, he's in class now, right? I was going to, he told me he's playing Call of Duty, by the way, you know, your son. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah, he told me, but I was like, yeah, we should show him Pong. Let's see how long that takes, you know. You could probably beat him at that. Yeah, he wants Pong? Oh, he wants it. Oh, he told me that he was, oh, I thought he was, okay, all right. All right, yeah, see, sometimes we tell our parents what to do. So when you're doing programming, and I don't know, you know, you're right, there's a lot of if-then statements. Right, okay, Ajay said yes. He's the resident expert. That's all I know. I mean, I haven't written a program in, well, how old am I? Can I speak English today? Yeah, like, I don't know, five decades, guys. Well, that would have been three, but a while ago. There's a lot of if-then statements in Scripture. All God's promises are yes and amen. He's like, I promised it to you, but I also gave you the steps to acquire, take, you know, have the acquisition of the promise. And we're still waiting. This is what he was saying to me. Because, you know, I sat with the Lord on this. And you know, I've been sitting with the Lord in this chapter for, you know, a while now. I mean, really for quite some time, for years. But that's what he was saying to me this morning. He was like, you're asking me to send something that I've already given you. You've got to go take possession of it. The fire is here. How are you stewarding your life? What are you doing in your life to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and then have all these things added to you? Matthew 6:33, where we want all the things to be added unto us, but we're not seeking first the kingdom. When you actually seek first the kingdom, the point is you start to forget about all the other things. And then they just get added. You're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. But what I really want is the face. It's time to return to the fire and find the form within the fire. This is what God is saying to the church today. It's time to come back to the fire, but don't just stop at the fire. Step into the fire and find the form of God. What does that mean? To find and understand and learn the ways of God in the midst of the supernatural activity that he's performing. We can get caught up in the glory. You know, there's all kinds of glory conferences, glory explosion. I've seen so many glory explosion conferences where the glory never exploded, but it makes for a nice term. And I'm just rebellious enough that if somebody's promoting a conference and they say to me, you know, in their advertisement, you don't want to miss this, I just automatically want to miss it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, you know, there's some things the Lord probably still I need to get deeper into the fire. Some things that need to be burned out in me. I know. I'm not going to have that natural kind of rebellious bent. What does that mean? Don't stop at an experience in the presence. Press into the ways of God. We taught this last year, and actually I taught this in multiple nations out of Psalm 27. One thing I ask for, one thing that I seek, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. Actually, the word meditate in the Hebrew, you could call it meditate, but it's really inquiring of the Lord. Why are those three things important? To do all of them, because we divide on those issues. You have a segment of the church that wants to dwell in the structure of the house and just do the structural things of the house. We want to go in. We want to mark our time. You don't want to stand up when we're supposed to stand up. Sit down when we're supposed to sit down, and you know, And then we've done our church. You know, we're in, we're out, we're in an hour, we're out in an hour, and that's not bad. As a matter of fact, the River Stream Revival Stream churches could actually learn a few things from that. Because, you know, as a reaction on the other side of the revival in the 90s, you had all these churches that never wanted structure, and they just wanted to be prophetic all the time, and they couldn't figure out why they weren't building, why they weren't growing. It's because there was no banks to the river, so the church just became a swamp where some things kind of came to life. But at the end of the day, we realized, some of these things that came to life aren't great. And so we want to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what that means. Like even David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in my father's house. We have to perform the tasks and the duties within the structure of the house. There are just some things that we do that we don't have to ask the Lord about. You wake up in the morning, you might be that person that wakes up and asks the Lord, should I brush my teeth today? Here's a word from the Lord, brush your teeth, please. And if you're on ministry teams, don't eat garlic, a garlic omelet before you come. So whatever it is, we've seen some things and smelled some things in this house. But we have to get to the place where we're willing to get into the uncomfortable space of moving beyond the structure of the house and going into the king's chambers where we can behold his beauty. When we behold his beauty, we become enraptured by the thing that we see. You know, even in 1 John chapter 4, it says, you know, as he is, as he is, so are we on this earth. Also, it says, when we see him, we will be like him. Whenever we come into encounter with the living God, there is an aspect of his nature that overtakes our nature, and we begin to become transformed in our being. But don't be fooled. The transformation is one thing. But the renewing of the mind, it comes from the disciplines of the structure of the house. It comes from the discipline of being in the Word. I've seen so many people that have had a momentary transformation only to leave and go back to living life the way they lived it before because they never had their mind renewed. So we want to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is Psalm 27. But on the other side of beholding the beauty of the Lord, we have to then meditate in his temple. We've got to inquire of the Lord, because it's not enough just to perform the duties of the house. It's not just enough just to come and mark time and serve in the back, or serve on the platform, or, you know, vacuum the floors and clean the bathrooms or whatever it is that we do. That's not enough. We have to behold the beauty of the Lord, so that when we spill out of this place, his nature is literally irradiating off of our nature. And it's not just enough to have an encounter where we're just enraptured by the presence of God. We have to meditate in the temple. We've got to work through the issues of the lie of our life. We've got to hear the questions that he will implant in our heart, so that we can learn the ways of God and not just walk in power, but now we're walking in wisdom. Press in to the ways of God. I know I'm loud. I'm sorry. It's okay. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. It says this: only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The Lord asks you today, what do you see? And what have you seen? I've tasted and I've seen. I've had so many encounters in his power over my life. The first time I encountered God, I was 2 years old in a crib, and I still remember it to this day. I shouldn't remember the house. I can remember the house, the furniture. I remember everything. Remember years ago, my mom saying, oh, you can't remember that. And then I told her what the room looked like. I told her what the furniture looked like. Had a power, well, she's asking what, okay, I'll tell you. I still don't know exactly what it meant. I was two, I don't know. But, you know, this is before AC, air conditioning, was a thing. We were living in New Jersey, I think, or maybe we were still in, I don't even know. I don't know which, because my dad was military. So from the time that I was born until we moved up here, we moved, you know, two or three times. And it was hot out, so they had a floor fan in my room. And, it was nap time, so I'd laid down to nap. And I remember looking through the spokes of the crib and looking at the fan, as it was blowing on my face. And then the fan multiplied. One fan became three. And then three fans became five. And they started walking toward my face. Kind of cool. But when you're two, that'll freak you out. So I started crying. And my mom came into the room. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But I didn't have language. I couldn't describe what I was seeing. It was just an overwhelming experience for me at that time. At 8 years old, they brought us all to a huge convention. It was in the Hartford Civic Center, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. It was their international conference. This is back when they were huge. They were rocking. 8 years old. This is in the 70s. And worship begins. They just begin to worship. And then everyone's praying. I'm talking about 10,000 people praying in the Spirit. They didn't have bands back then. It was like, you know, somebody on a piano or organ and somebody singing. I don't remember who was doing worship, or I don't remember any of that. I remember some of the people that were speaking. And there was a kids program, you know, so I could have gone and done all the kiddie things. But I looked at my parents. I was like, I'm not going out there, because whatever's happening here, like, this is where I want to be. It was the first time I remember raising my hands in worship at 8 years old. Not because I chose to go, not because I woke up and said, hey, I want to go to Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention International. I was 8 years old. I'd rather play Pong. But because my parents brought me consistently in my life into a space where Holy Spirit would move, there were periods of time, there were moments in time dotted across my life where I came into an encounter with the living God. I was 8 years old and just enveloped by the glory of God. Weeping at eight. It's not emotionalism. As a matter of fact, I can prove to you in the Hebrew that we are to engage God with our emotions. If there is not an emotional response when we engage God, then we are holding something back. I've had pastors look at me, well, that looks like an emotionalism. Well, anyway. I've walked through the transforming power of the cross. But there are times and there are seasons in my life where I forgot. Only take care. Keep. The word keep means guard your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. We will all be tested in this. Every single one of us in the room, we will be tested in this. And this word for forget in the Hebrew, there's an aspect of this Hebrew word according to the Dictionary of Biblical Language with semantic domains. It's a light read. And this word for, there's an aspect of this word for forget, which means to wither, to become crippled. Shocked when I studied this word. That's what happens when we forget what God has done. Sure, we could still acknowledge it. We can still mark time. We can still show up on a Sunday morning. But are you keeping and guarding? Are you remembering the experiences that you've had in Him as if you woke up and experienced it today for the very first time? That's what it takes to keep and guard. I'm telling you what it takes. Are we doing it? And I'm telling you that I have forgotten. Long swaths of time in my life where I was just marking time and doing what I was called to do and functioning on my gift, but not functioning from the flow of His heart. This is the rebuke that came to me when I was in Taiwan. Normally when I go to Asia, you're speaking three times a day, you're doing meetings in between the meetings, you're just exhausted. You know, in mainland, they have a term that they would use, and it would translate to this: we will bleed you to your last drop of blood. And they do. But interestingly, the first day that I was there, I didn't speak till that night. So I landed the night before, you know, I got to the room, and so I had time at night, you know, whatever we ate for dinner, we ate and went to bed, and then I had the day. I spent 4 hours in the presence. I spent 4 hours. And it's like, what am I going to do? I had all these shows downloaded on my iPad, you know. And, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I could just chill and, you know, eat snacks. And, you know, they had a breakfast there. You know, I don't know. Breakfast and dinner, it's the same thing. I don't understand. So you go to breakfast, it's fish. You go to dinner, it's fish. There's noodle, there's soup. It's like, I don't know. Is there any distinction at all between breakfast and dinner in Taiwan? I don't know. I didn't find it. But it was healthy. I don't know. I just felt like it reset my innards. It's healthy food. You know, I don't know. Whatever it is. What kind of fish is it? I don't know. Fish from river. You know, okay. I just want to know what kind of fish from the river. Doesn't matter. That didn't happen in Taiwan. That was back in mainland that happened. They brought out this fish. Its mouth is open. The whole thing is like this big. And I was just trying to be, you know, curious. I was like, what kind of fish is it? Fish from river. Eat. Okay. Had to work on my chopstick skills. 4 hours. Just 1 hour turned to two, and two turned to three, and three turned to four. And what was really unusual about this trip is I had pre-planned every session, every message for every session I was going to do over the course of the next 6 days. I know, that's pretty good for me. And the Lord said, no, you're not doing that. But He was so good. His presence was so good. I was like, you're right. Let's just go. Let's go. What do you want to say? You know, this is the way I used to lead worship. People are like, how do you lead worship? I'd wake up and say, God, what do you want to hear today? I'm not telling you that's how you got to do it. I'm not telling you that's right. I wish I wasn't like that because I like to plan. I like to look smart. I like to have my ducks in a row. I like to drop the Hebrew on you and the Greek on you. And, you know, then I can be Dr. Paul David Guidry and be, but most often the Lord's like, no, what? This is what I want to hear today. But I make my plans, then he directs steps. And that's harrowing. But when you spend the time in his presence, it's not that harrowing. Because now you're flowing from relationship. You're not striving to grab something that's out there. You're like, it's already in you because I'm walking in lockstep with Jesus. I only do what I see the Father doing. I was like, oh, you want to say that? You want them to hear this? We want to do that. And oh my gosh, it was like fire was released in that place just from the word. Of course, then they want you to pray over every person like 25 times and prophesy and all of that. I was like, but the fire, it's already released. It's already the word. It was already released. And the last night I did, I prayed for everybody. It was good. But the Lord spoke to me in that time and he said, what are you doing, Paul? I said, well, there's always an email. There's always a phone call. There's always a meeting. There's always something. There's always a video game. There's always my leisure time. And I realized I'd been asking God to do something that he had already done, but I'd stopped walking in it. It's time to return to the fire and find the form of God. That brings us to Deuteronomy 4, 11 and 12. Maybe I'll end here and we'll finish next week. Maybe. One of my favorite passages of scripture right here, guys. 4:11, it says this, and you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. How many times have we stopped at the encounter, thinking the encounter is the goal, thinking the experience is the goal? Oh, I got goosebumps. Worship was so good. What does that mean? I got goosebumps. Worship was so good. What does that mean? I saw angels. Worship was so good. What does that mean? I laughed. I cried. I had an experience. I had an encounter. I want us all to have encounters. I speak encounter. But that's not, the momentary encounter is not the goal, because you can have an encounter with God at the foot of the mountain, but Moses was the one that walked up through the gloom, through the cloud, through the mist, through the smoke, through the fire, so that he could see the form. Jesus, I want to see the form. I want to know your ways. I don't want to stop or shrink back just because I had an encounter yesterday. There's so much more to learn, and your fire is on the earth today. God, I want to step into it again. It's time to step back into the fire, but it's time to know the form of God. Why? I don't want to be known as a prophetic church. I don't want to be known as a church that, you know, people wave flags or crazy people dance sometimes. It's going to be more because there's sound, light, and motion around the throne. If you want to do decently and in orderly, you've got to see Revelation 4, what's happening in his throne on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's not that I want the four living creatures to show up here, but I kind of do. But if that happened, like, people would probably be trying to cast demons out. Or if you don't know what I'm talking about, read Revelation 4. Read it out loud. I read it out loud most days because I want that encounter. Because in that encounter, John got to see the form. Even Moses said, show me your glory that I may know your ways. And God answers, and he doesn't say, I'm going to show you my glory. What is God saying? It's what I believe he's saying is that my ways aren't in my glory. My ways are in my goodness. I will cause my goodness to forcefully blow over your face. It's literally in the Hebrew, like there's this action of the goodness coming, and it's strong. It's not a gentle thing. It's like, I'm gonna make my goodness forcefully blow over your face. My nature is gonna overtake your nature. And in my goodness, you will find my ways, because in my goodness, there's always the activation of the potential for future life. And as you co-labor with me on the earth, you will bring future life everywhere that you go. You will proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. You will raise the dead. You will heal the sick. You will cleanse the leper. You will cast out demons. And you will say to people, heaven has come down. Oh, you're just getting a taste. But would you step into the fire, but then proceed through the fire and find the form of God? That you would know his ways. Bill Johnson talks about revival and talks about people that have had a taste of revival, and it becomes like a vaccination against it. Because we think, oh, we dipped our toe in. Man, I lived in a revival. I was in it, nightly meetings. I'm talking, I lived in revival from 1995 to 2000, 2001. And it still burns in me. But even in that, there have been seasons where I've become nearsighted and blind. I thought I was guarding. I thought I was protecting. I thought I was remembering, but I was remembering in an aspect of my mind, but not activating it in my heart. That's what guarding means. And I became a spiritual cripple. The gift within me began to wither. And I could still function. I could still do. But I got perhaps dangerously close to having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Never intentionally denied the power, but when you don't keep guard, remember, and allow your previous encounters with God and experiences with God, allow the Word of God to become life to your soul, you will wither like the grass in the field at the change of a season. If then, his fire is on the earth, his fire is in this region, his fire is in this room, will you step into it? But don't stop at the flame. Press through, because the goal is the form, is the face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. And I thank you for how you breathe upon us. I thank you for the way that you moved upon us in worship. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for healing and deliverance. But God, I know there's a disparity. There's a divide from what you've made available on your table and what we are eating today. God, I ask that you would shake us awake. You open our eyes. For lack of a better term, would you haunt us with your goodness, that we would not escape into the mundane things of this world? Because there's a generation rising on the earth today that has need of a mature bride. Take them by the hand and show them the way to his fire and to his form. But we can't show them the way to a place where we have not been standing. So in this room right now, I so often pray, but So a little more weight on the words today. Would you release a fresh baptism of your fire and a fresh baptism of your love? Because I never want to be known as a church by our function. We want to be known as a people who have been with God. Then everything changes everywhere we go. God, where there's a need for healing in this room, release it now. And we receive. God, where there's depression, I speak the joy of the Holy Spirit. Where there is anxiety, I speak peace like a river. Where there is fear and timidity, I speak unshakable love and a boldness that comes from the fire of your presence. We will be known as a people who have been with God. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim, Yeshua, the Anointed One, the Spirit who is holy. So I speak shalom, 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 in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit who is holy. Seal this time by your Spirit. Seal this word in us. Let nothing escape. Let nothing be stolen. But let it take deep root in our lives today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.